Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is Don Blunt, editor of The Record. And on Sunday, July 15th, we published in print and online the first in a series that we are calling the Violent Crime Project. What we're doing is looking at the effects of crime on the survivors, meaning the people who were impacted or lost a loved one to violent crime. And in this series, we've gone back and talked to survivors from about 10 years back, a year back, 3 and 5, to sort of show how they've been impacted by these events. Too often, we go out, we report on these things, we follow them through trial and conviction, and then we and the public go away. So we really wanted to go and try to put a face on the effects of these events on people and to sort of show what they're dealing with years later. And I'm sitting here with Nicholas Philippus, one of the reporters who worked on this series. All right, Nick, you wrote about the case of Juwan Small, a 17-year-old Stockton youth who was killed a couple of years ago in North Stockton.
Correct.
You spoke with his mother, Jessica Sewell, right? Just tell us a little bit about your impressions when, as we discussed this project, and what you thought about it going into it.
Well, it's like you said earlier, you know, for us journalists, we're, you know, we get called out to these cases and follow through with the court and trial, and then a lot of the times, you know, we move on to other projects and don't necessarily reach out to the families of these victims long after these incidents happen. And so I had reported on Juwan, I think a day or two after he was killed, when he was identified and found out that he was a Stockton Unified student. So in my education beat, I figured it was appropriate to find out a little bit more about him and where he went to school. And to also, you know, this is a kid who, you know, day before, it was his 18th birthday and died. And for reasons that we still don't know. And it was very nice to have reached out to Jessica, who was open and available to have us come to her home and share her son's memory.
Could you describe a little bit for the listeners the approach you take and what you're thinking when you go in to talk to someone who has lost a loved one to violence?
It's always tricky because the main thing is you want to be as respectful as possible for the family. I mean, this is, you know, a mother who lost her child, her oldest child. And so I also wanted to get as much as his memory and kind of his personality as much as I could, aside to kind of the details of what happened on that day. And so going into it, it was, you know, a lot of questions about just kind of, you know, what his interests were, just kind of his everyday life, what he had planned to do after high school. And, you know, there were some, you know, tears shed, you know, when you have to ask the hard questions of, you know, what's it like to go to a crime scene like that. And, but I like to know that, there's a lot of laughter and a lot of joy when we talked about Juwan, just kind of the young man that he was.
So what's it like, or how do you approach someone who's lost a loved one to violence?
Well, it's always a tricky subject when, of course, you have to bring up the events on that day, but I like to go in with, to be as the most respectful as I can. And really, the most conversation that we had together was a lot about Juwan's interests and backgrounds, and we shared, you know, some laughs and some, you know, a lot of tears were shed when, you know, the inevitable questions kind of how that day came about. But I like to think that we left the competition to bring back more of Juan's memory and just kind of to let our readers know of who this young man was and you know, the unfortunate tragedy that followed.
So when you're in their interview and you're having this conversation, sort of what's going through your mind as you're taking it all in?
I'm taking in just who Juan was as a person, as an individual. I was really, you know, listening to Jessica talk about her son made me feel like I knew him personally as well. And looking around the house, I mean, their house, the walls are wall-to-wall with framed photographs of him. And, I mean, text messages between mother and son were screenshot and printed up and on the wall, and about how much he loves sneakers. I love sneakers as well, and I really feel like if I had a chance to meet Juan in person, we would have got along really well. He really sounded like a quite the energetic and positive individual that I think we all like to have in our lives. And so really, it was letting Jessica talk. And of course, you know, her struggles as a mother after this event, and you know, it's the hardships that, you know, not only she has faced, but you know, Devin and Giovanna have struggled too. You know, they wake up every day now without their older brother there, and just listening to, just letting her talk, and you know, just that would be about it. You know.
So even after Juan was murdered about on December 14th of 2015,
mm-hmm.
So even 2.5 years later, is this family still struggling with that, with his absence?
I would think so. I think the day-to-days are better, but of course, you know, they wake up every single day now, and you know, he's not there anymore, and you know, the two siblings will grow up without their older brother being there, and you know, life will go on. But you know, for me personally, you know, I get up and go to work and go home every day. But you know, for them, it's different, and it's different for a lot of families that, you know, in Stockton who have been affected by violence. And it's what I hope that this project can kind of showcase is that, you know, long after these articles run and the names you know, appear in print, that the you know, the pain doesn't go away.
Did you feel as if you were affected at all by being involved in this?
I was, yeah. I've because of this project, I feel like I got closer to Jessica and their family after we met just that one time in person and talked on the phone a few times. We messaged back and forth on Facebook, and her family is constantly in my thoughts, especially, you know, near the holidays, and because Juan and I both share kind of a similar birthday month. So, yeah, they'll always be in my thoughts, and I hope the best for them.
Well, as journalists, we're always trying to maintain that professional objectivity. From what I'm hearing from you a little bit, as if that's been shortened a bit, as if you feel more for this family than just a journalist who's dropping in, doing a story, and rolling on out of there. Is that correct?
Well, it's, you know, I wish that we had more time in the day to be able to do the kind of projects with a lot of families that we unfortunately have to cover when these events happen. But, you know, it was just going in there to showcase what this young man was all about and his life, and to keep his memory alive. And did that answer your question?
No, that's fine. No, I was going to ask: Was there anything that you would have liked to have made the story that you could not include, that you felt would still be of value to anyone out there?
I think a part of me would like to obviously understand why this happened. Jessica had told me that the authorities had said that when he was found on the street, his cell phone was still there, his wallet was still there. He was delivering sneakers to a friend's house, and the sneakers in the box of the backpack were still there. And so it doesn't sound like he was robbed at any point. So we don't know if this was just a random act of violence, if this was a gang initiation, if this was just a stray bullet. So I like to be able to have the answer for Jessica and her family as to why Juwan was taken. But unfortunately, we don't have all those answers. And I do hope, though, that with this article and Juan's name getting back into the public sector, that maybe somebody there that day in December might remember who was there, might have seen something, and come forward.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks, Nick.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it.